FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is October 4th, 2016. Well, if you're like me, and many of you are, you might have gone into a profession for perhaps the right reasons, for perhaps the wrong reasons, and you found yourself many years on wanting more from your life and wanting to do something that you felt had meaning, that you could help people and really make a difference. Well, person you're about to hear from, his name is Buck Joffrey, MD. And Buck, you were a medical doctor, and now you find yourself doing something totally different here. You're now a podcaster, and you now do financial education, or as you call it, entrepreneurship for professionals like you who are trying to help people get on the right track. So basically to invest properly and to find yourself when it's that time to retire or do something else that you're able to do it. So Buck, welcome to the show. It is great to have you on.
Thanks for having me, Kerry.
So Buck, you're a doctor, MD. You spent a long time getting the proper education, doing your residency, fellowship probably, and then you practiced medicine. What happened here? When did you make the switch?
Well, you know, it wasn't overnight by any means. I went to medical school and wanted to be a doctor for the same reasons as practically every other person I know. Now, the reason for that, wanting to be a doctor, was to help people. And, you know, contrary to popular belief, you know, in the White House, President of the United States, we're not all in it for the money. We didn't go in it for the money. Most of us who went into medical school went into medical school because we wanted to help people. And we that's not to say that we didn't think that, you know, that we would be repaid. I mean, we're going into a lot of debt. We're sacrificing many years of our lives. And many of us finished the top of our class. We could have done a whole lot of other things. So there is a sense, I think, for all of us that, you know, we'll be repaid for what we're doing. Now, you know, I think if you look at medicine right now, it's kind of going the other way. And you've got in the last 20 years, doctors have been paid less and less every year. And at the same time, hours are going up and we have less and less autonomy in practice. So you know, I don't know that it was one. I think that's where a lot of doctors are coming from. My personal story is that I was highly academic, finishing my training as a surgeon. And what happened was I was getting a little burned out by the end of my residency and fellowship training. Now, I understand I'd been in, you know, school for in training for 35 years. I finished training when I was about 34, I should say. And so when I finished training, we had graduation, and then I got married the next day. My wife and I went on my honeymoon, and we went on our honeymoon, and I was very confused about what I was doing now, because I thought I wanted to be an academic surgeon. My wife thought she was marrying somebody who was going to be a chairman of a department, but something wasn't working for me. And I didn't like the politics. I didn't like the way medicine was heading. So I started looking for other things. Oddly enough, on our way back from Mexico, in a Mexican airport, I picked up a copy of one of Robert Kiyosaki's books. It happened to be, in this case, the Cashflow Quadrant. And honestly, I had never even thought about money. It sounds ridiculous, right? I'm a broke resident. I never even thought about money. But I started reading it, and it was transformational for me, because it made me think about something I never thought about before. Now, I didn't go out and run out and start investing in real estate like a lot of people did. But what it did for me was create a vision of something different that wasn't just about having a job and, you know, working and exchanging hours for money. So I did everything in my power at that point to, you know, learn as much as I could about entrepreneurship and investing. And instead of going to work for somebody, I started my own practice right away, turned that into a business, you know, made it so that I could, you know, I could walk away from that business and quickly started accumulating other hard assets. So for me, it's been great, because I do still practice a little bit, but it's on my own terms. I do For me, the idea of wealth is not just about money. It's about doing things on your own terms. So I practice now, but it's because I enjoy it. It's not because I need the money.
Well, maybe that's the best way to be, because hey, you're enjoying it and you're doing something you want to do, and you're not, you don't have your back up against the wall, if you will. So it's got to be a much more enjoyable experience now.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it, for me, it's, you know, not everybody's, you know, no, not everybody's cut out to, or made to like entrepreneurship. You know, it's we're trying to learn about money, but for me, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's something that I never knew I would enjoy. And right now I feel like I'm very passionate, and to the point where I think I am almost an evangelist for the cause, because I see a lot of my fellow physicians and other high paid professionals getting, you know, taken by the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it seems like you're more like a government employee now practicing medicine than you are being self-employed or working for a group. I mean, all the red tape that you have to go through, all of the regulations, everything else as a physician, you got to wonder, hey, am I really helping people, or am I just becoming somebody that just channels, you know, who am I working for? Am I really helping the patient? Am I really there to make them well? What am I doing here?
That's right. I mean, it's if you look at what's going on, broadly speaking, physician autonomy is going down, physician hours are going up, reimbursement is going down, and it's all in the wrong direction for us. And so in my view, it's not just about physicians either. I mean, plenty of my listeners in my community are other kinds of high paid professionals, that be software engineers or dentists, or, you know, even some attorneys. Listen, we're all living in an economy right now that we have to start thinking about other ways to make money than our 9-to-5 job if we want to create stability for our families. And, you know, that's what I'm really all about in terms of advocating on my show and podcast.
Yeah. And so when you're helping people to do that, and you're freeing them up, what do? How do you help them?
Well, first of all, it's a mindset switch, right? You know, I listen to these people and I watch these shows when they talk about planning for retirement and investing and so on and so forth. And so much of it is, I don't know if it's blatantly on purpose dishonest or if it's just, you know, just stupidity, but it doesn't apply to the world that we live in, as you know, Carrie. And I know a lot of what you advocate and I advocate is very similar. If you look at, you know, the idea of, you know, working for 35 years and then saving for retirement, that paradigm just doesn't make sense in the world that we live in. I mean, if you look at what these paradigms are based on, in terms of saving money and investing, they're based on this concept, you know, that typically, you know, you're going to make about 7% per year on your investments, that you're going to work for about 35 years and you're going to put a certain amount of money away, and then you're going to be able to, you know, pull off 4% per year and live on that for 30 years. And to me, that's sort of downright crazy, right? I mean, really, it's sort of like even if it worked, it's, the idea is like filling up a bottle of water and trying to figure out how to make it last long enough so that you don't die of thirst before you die of something else, right?
Yeah.
It's literally, it's ridiculous. Now, if you go back and you think about the assumptions that are made to get to that point, they're even more ridiculous. First of all, let's talk about 7% growth, or what a lot of them call 5% real growth per year, because they're factoring in a 2% inflation rate. You and I both believe that inflation in the coming years is going to be a great deal more than 2%. We also know that, you know, the average cost of a mutual fund these days is about 3.17% per year, and that's from Forbes. So let's talk about, you know, what kind of investment you'd have to make in stocks and bonds to get a return of 7% when you've got a load of 3.17% on top of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, you got, you know, I think there was something from the President's Council of Economic Advisors that was saying that for every 1% lower return over a 35-year period, that's a reduction in about 25% of your savings. And you're going to try to live on that, right? So I think we've got a real problem in this country because it's not just about people doing what they're supposed to do, but they're being fed information that in our world right now just doesn't make any sense. You know, even if you look at the stock market right now, even the last 3 years, it's been totally flat. It's still very high for what it's worth. I mean, we're at some very ridiculous valuations in terms of where the stocks are, and all the big players there, whether that's, you know, Jim Rogers or, you know, George Soros or all these guys are shorting the market, which everybody else, these, you know, professionals out there are given to some wealth advisor who's gotten a 3-month certificate to invest in something and just blow it all away. So my show is about investing in real stuff, creating multiple streams of income, and trying to create, instead of this reservoir of this drinking bottle of water, a faucet that you turn on that never turns off.
Mm-hmm. So best investments to create this faucet, this endless supply?
Well, that's a great question because, you know, I am, like many other people, a big fan of real estate. I invest and sponsor multifamily apartment buildings. You know, I also invest in a number of other asset classes within real estate, assisted living, et cetera. But it's not just about real estate. I mean, we're going outside of that and we're looking at, you know, I'm looking at energy sectors and oil and gas, even though that's kind of depressed right now. I mean, I think it's going to go up eventually. I'm looking at, you know, non-traditional energy sources, of course, the metals. I mean, if you believe that inflation is going to be, if inflation is imminent, it'd be crazy not to invest in gold and silver. Right. So it's not just about one or two things. It's about things that make sense. I think the bigger message from my end is, first of all, invest in things you understand, because they're the idea that, you know, that investing is some very, very difficult things that only these guys on Wall Street that speak some language that's confusing to you, that purposely confuses you. The idea that only those people know how to make money is absolutely wrong. They are out there to, you know, take your money, not to make you money.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, well, hey, that's a problem because they do have a conflict of interest here, because like that movie Trading Places with Eddie Murphy. Hey, the stock goes up, the stock goes down, they make money regardless what happens to you. So, and for them, it's always a good time to be buying regardless where the market's at. So you have to be looking at that and thinking, well, if they've got a built-in conflict of interest, then I got to be looking at something else here for myself, where I'm going to work at, where it's going to work for me no matter what.
Yep, that's absolutely right. I mean, these people are in the business of taking your money, again, not making you money. And, you know, I can't tell you enough, having one foot in that financial world, to the extent that I know people in that world, and then knowing people on the professional side, I can't tell you enough how I remember talking to a guy who told me that he loved working with doctors because they were so stupid. that's great. So my feeling is, invest in, you know, things you understand, invest with people you know and trust. And that's what I advocate.
Yeah. So how do you know who you can trust? Because they show you these performance statistics and they look so good on paper. And yet, like you said, the fees eat you up alive. You got to get into a situation where you're not going to be paying these extraordinary, exorbitant fees.
Well, you know, that's the real challenge. And for me, you know, I've been fortunate enough so that I think that when you work with people in this area for long enough, you start to see who's for real and who's not. And some of that on my end has been investing with the wrong people and investing with some of the right people. And I think that there are people out there who do have integrity, and the key is figuring out who they are. Now, to your point, how do you figure that out if you're working 40, 50 hours a week as a professional and you're not out there trying to, you know, you don't have the time or even the desire to necessarily, you know, go out there and try to vet all, you know, go out and hunt down the best deals. Well, listen, the way that the rich get richer is that they know people, and it's all about community. And for professionals, we're just, for the most part, not rich enough to be parts of those community. You know, we have money, but we don't have the same kind of money that a lot of people in the, 1% of 1% are exposed to. And so what we can do, and what I'm trying to do with my show, is to build our own community, because with community, you get a lot of leverage, right? So the goal for me in part, on my show is to educate, but it's also to slowly but surely introduce people to some people that I've either invested with, or I know others who have invested with, and they can tell you their story. They're not going to come out there and tell you about a deal, but at least I know, and I feel good about introducing those people because I trust them. So it's all about community. So whether or not you, that's the safest way in my view to invest.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, knowing people, knowing the right people, and contacts, community, and of course, and finding those people, though, that can really be the hard part.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a guy that I interviewed on the show, for example, Kerry, that I have invested with for at least 4 or 5 years. And first time I met the guy, I mean, I got a really good sense for him and what he was like. But, you know, I put in some money in his fund, which he told me was, 12% per year. He was doing a fund on, with notes, he was buying non-performing mortgages and putting people back into those, houses for rent. And so, but he was delivering a 12% return. Now that sounds ridiculous, right? 12% return. Sure. You're going to do that. Well, for 5 years, every month I've gotten that check. Okay. Wow. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good track record.
Yeah. I'd say he's got credibility.
Yeah. And so I know him a lot better now, and I know the inside story there. I know that in fact, that with this money, he's actually generating about, you know, like I think he said 48% returns. So it's easy for him to give 12% returns to his investors. So it's not that, I'm not getting money from these people. I don't, you know, nobody pays me anything. I just want to share with people what I know and what I've learned over the years, so that if they're so inclined to take investing, you know, by the bootstraps and actually put some thought into it, not a lot, but enough to at least learn some basics and not get completely hoodwinked by their quote unquote wealth advisor, that it can become something of a more profitable situation.
Sure. Yeah, totally understand what you mean. And yeah, so finding these people is the key. And obviously you figured out how to do that. And so stock market ahead, what's your thoughts here? It's high. It's gone up a little bit, but it's kind of been in the same place for a while. And you're just not seeing that as a long-term wealth building mechanism, are you?
No, not at all. I'm not interested in the stock market at all, because, you know, when you look at what's going on in the market right now, you did say it's up a little bit. Yeah, if you go back, you know, 3 years, it's up a little bit from there. But the reality is that, why is it up? Well, first of all, we live in an unparalleled environment right now, with, 0% interest rates. Mm. So, we've got massive corporate buybacks, and we've got a lot of institutional money back in the market. And essentially what you're seeing is huge, huge valuations of stocks, that a lot of them, where the earnings are actually not that impressive. Now, listen, at the end of the day, I'm a physician. I'm a guy who's self-taught a lot in economic in economic matters. But if you look at the guys who everybody seems to trust, whether that's, you know, guys like George Soros or guys like, you know, like Jim Rogers or any of the, a lot of these big players, they're all shorting the market. So if they're shorting the market.
Yeah. Where does that leave you?
Where does that leave me? Listen, I'm certainly not interested in it. Now, if the market took a huge nosedive, would it be time to potentially get in? Maybe, yeah. But then I don't think I would be looking at it. I don't believe in the old mantra of, you know, buying stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, and you know, holding on to them for the long term. Because again, I think that's a paradigm of the past. I think we have a new normal in this country and in this world right now that for the foreseeable future is way too turbulent and way too unpredictable to put that kind of value in the old paradigms.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I'm sure you're going to want to find out more about what's going on there, about what Buck is doing. And Buck, people want to find out more about it, get in touch with you, check out your podcast. Where's the best place to find you?
Yeah. So the podcast is called the Wealth Formula Podcast, and you can download that on iTunes or Stitcher, but you can also go to the website wealthformula.com. Now on that site, there's also a lot of basic financial information. One of the things that I think that a lot of professionals don't have is basic understanding of the way that, you know, markets work and the terminology, et cetera. So, you know, and they're a little embarrassed to admit it. So I've got an entire section on basic financial education, some advanced stuff, but I think the podcast is really, really important. And the newsletter gives you a lot of information as well. So go ahead and subscribe to that.
All right. And you will find a link to Dr. Buck's site in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Make sure you go there, take a look. We got articles from all over the world dealing with these topics, as well as many others. Sign up for the free newsletter. And hey, while you're at it, just send me an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. Hey, Dr. Buck Joffrey, interesting person, following his passion, which is helping you to find alternatives to mainstream financial plans, which don't always have your best interests at heart. Hey, Buck, we will talk to you again soon. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.